Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. Bruce Arena is the winningest coach in U.S. soccer history. He's a member of the National Soccer Hall of Fame and recent author of the new book, What's Wrong With Us? A coach's blunt take on the state of American soccer after a lifetime on the touchline. And Bruce Arena joins us on the Midday 180. Thank you so much, Bruce. How are you?
Great. Thank you for having me on.
What do you think about U.S. fans rooting for Mexico here? Let's set Landon Donovan aside. I'm a huge U.S. soccer fan. I'm a huge New York Yankee fan. I'll never in the world root for the Red Sox or Mexico.
Well, I'm a huge U.S. soccer fan and a huge Yankee fan as well. But in the World Cup, I support our team from CONCACAF. So Mexico, Panama, and Costa Rica, I watch and I support them. And, you know, I don't believe that they're outside of the competition. There should be any kind of hatred and all, but that's just my opinion. I don't mind Landon doing that. You know, I guess the question is he's doing it for commercial purposes and what have you. I can't comment on that, but I certainly, as a fan of the sport and obviously well invested in U.S. soccer, think at a time where our fellow colleagues in CONCACAF are competing, I support them.
I've read a good section of the book. I apologize, I haven't done all of it. And you take it on squarely, but I'd like you to take it on squarely for our listeners. For a lot of people seeing this book on the shelves, we'll read the title, What's Wrong with U.S. Soccer? Your name is big below it. And they'll say, while he led us as far as we've ever gone when we went to the quarterfinals years ago, part of what's wrong with U.S. soccer right now is we hired Bruce Arena to clean up the program, and he couldn't get us a draw at Trinidad and Tobago.
Well, I can't argue with the fact we didn't get the result in the last day of the competition, but I give our team a lot of credit for battling in 2017 and doing what we did. We were undefeated for 14 games. We won the Gold Cup. We brought the program from a dismal start at the end of 2016 to a chance of qualifying for the World Cup in the last day. And the fact that we didn't, we all put our hands up and accept the responsibility.
Bruce Arena is with us on 104.5 The Zone.
In the broad reset that you now would like to see, where you're saying you got to consider everything, you got to consider a qualifier against Mexico in Alaska, if that's what it takes. Could this kind of broad reset have happened if we also continued to qualify? Or, you know, you talk about it being a side effect here of something we didn't want to happen, obviously, but that not playing right now opens the door for a rethinking that might never have otherwise been forced upon us.
Well, I agree. We would never have rethought because we've been very complacent. You know, our sponsors were doing commercials 7 months ago for the World Cup. We were checking out venues in Russia. We were casually just selecting venues for World Cup qualifying. We didn't realize the fact that competing to get into a World Cup is now highly, highly competitive in CONCACAF, and we can't let our guard down. We've got to protect ourselves in every way, knowing that it could be one or two minor details that we miss can make a difference.
Bruce Arena is with us on the Midday 180. Only about 34% of players in the MLS are even eligible to play on the national team, Bruce. And as you point out, there's about 45 or so players. There are only about 14 men who would be in your plans if you were moving the national team forward. What can be done to stop this from trending in the wrong direction as we move forward with MLS?
I think we have to rethink things. We got to create policies that allow domestic players to get on the field, and especially our young players. And that's the responsibility of U.S. soccer, is the governing body for the sport in our country. They have to work with MLS to change some of the rules. And this problem we're having is not unique. It happens all over the world, and other countries observe the problems they have, and they make changes. And we've just been slow to make changes.
I know Pulisic's got a unique opportunity because he's got a dual citizenship or the visa that he needs through his family stuff. But that certainly seems like an effective path to get yourself over to Europe, to be in the right kind of program, if you have the right kind of guidance to grow you. And, I mean, if my 8-year-old turns into a world-class caliber player who I could send there, isn't that better than anything America has to offer right now?
Well, that's the challenge for our country. We have got to develop our soccer environment where it's competitive enough to move along young players. We can't send every young player over to Europe. Not all of them will get a chance to play. Not all of them are Christian Pulisic. There's no reason to believe that we can't create a great environment in Major League Soccer for the top young American players.
Ernie Stewart taking over as kind of the GM of the senior national team. But sounds like he doesn't have control of the program up and down. Is this a bad thing? Do we need the U18 program to be under the same leadership that's leading the men's program?
I don't think that's an issue at all. That can be done by other people. The problem is that we have other people that will be giving us responsibilities. At this point in time, we don't, but I believe we can do that and improve our overall national team program as well as the academy programs in Major League Soccer.
What's this team need in its next head coach?
That's a good question. I think he just needs an open mind to be able to take in some young players, have the right kind of program in front of them to help develop these players, get the right kind of games at the right times. And if Major League Soccer starts playing more of our young players and our players overseas continue to develop, there's no reason to believe we can't be involved in the next World Cup.
Does he need to understand America, or does he need only to understand soccer, or the two?
No, you have to understand America, and you have to be able to communicate with our athletes. So obviously, being skilled in speaking English is critically important as well.
You wrote a great deal about the divide between the business side and the soccer side. Are you confident that we can find a middle ground, or at least find business people who are smart enough to rely on the soccer people who are smart enough to know they need the business people, and that we can find a meld? You talked about the business of U.S. soccer has been relatively booming, and people have been satisfied with that, maybe in a way that hurt us.
I do believe we can find the right mix, and that's going to be critical as we move forward. Everything can't just be on the commercial way of thinking or the political way of thinking. We got to think about the sport on the field. Can we make it a better product for Major League Soccer? Can we make it better to be more competitive with our national team programs?
Did you have any trepidation about writing this book and knowing how some people would receive it based on a question I asked you earlier?
No, because I've put my time in, and I deserve to have a point of view. Everyone else has one. Why wouldn't I have one? And why shouldn't I have one? I have more experience and more success in the game than anyone in our country, and there's no reason to believe that I should not be able to express my thoughts.
Bruce, was this therapeutic in a way? Were you able to discuss things in this book that you were not able to discuss publicly as head coach?
Yeah, the best therapy for me, though, right now would have been being in Russia with the team.
Yeah.
I'd rather not be writing a book about our problems. I'd rather be in Russia preparing for our games.
How has it been received so far, your book?
It's been out less than a week. I'm not exactly sure of in terms of the book selling and all of that, but I've made public appearances where it's gone very well, and I've done probably 30 interviews like this, and for the most part everything has been well received.
We want to be incredibly enthusiastic about Christian Pulisic, which is one of the things that makes the World Cup miss so upsetting, right? He's going to have probably four in his prime, and this would have been one of those. Give us some context for just how good you think this guy is going to be.
Well, let's let's make sure that we don't overdo it at this point. So far in his career, it's been outstanding. I'd like to believe he has a great future. I think in 2017, he was the best player for U.S. soccer. I thought he was outstanding. But the charge of any great athlete is to be consistent from year in and year out. LeBron James just doesn't have a spotty career where he plays well for a couple of years and then takes a year or two off. He's there each and every game, each and every year. That'll be the demands on Christian Pulisic, which is really challenging. And hopefully, with Dortmund, he can continue to grow as a player, and the same with the U.S. national team.
The new book from Bruce Arena, What's Wrong With Us? A coach's blunt take on the state of American soccer after a lifetime on the touchline.
Bruce, really enjoyed the conversation. Appreciate your availability. Look forward to finishing the book. And I'll tell you, as a nearly 50-year-old sports fan, the 2-0 win over Mexico in the round of 16 in 2002 and that World Cup run, it qualifies as a sporting highlight of my life. I hope your successor now can build on that.
Great. Thank you very much.
Bruce Arena has been our guest here on the Midday 180. You like some of those answers, Paul?
I do. I do think that, you don't want to go on the attack for a guy who's doing you a favor. I addressed, quote-unquote, the elephant in the room. I do think his reaction to it when it was over was a little blasé. You know, he called it a blemish. I think it's a lot more than a blemish. It's a gaping wound. It's not going to kill you. But the rehab from the wound is going to take a long time. Blemish you fix with a little makeup. This doesn't get fixed with a little makeup. And so I think he was dealt a tough hand. He took on a tough job. But he got him to a position where a draw with Trinidad and Tobago would have got us in. And we couldn't get it. And you read some. It poured right before we got there. And I remember showing you guys. It was like a moat.
And they didn't know about it until they arrived.
Right. And so Pulisic, I think, took off his boots and tiptoed across the water and put on his shoes on the other side. But some guys were carried across because they didn't want to get their cleats soaking wet.
And they were taped up.
All of this stuff went on social media. Trinidad and Tobago decided they were soft or insulting the field conditions and stuff, got fired up. And that's one of the things that works against us and keeps us out of the
World
Cup.
That's what Arena said.
That's some weak stuff right there, not just by him, but by the team.
When we come back, but John Feinstein joins us today at 1:15, and he'll go with us until 1:45. So we'll hit a lot of the U.S. Open storylines. One you and I have not talked about yet, Paul, is Phil Mickelson and what he did
and what he
on
said
Saturday.
He was doing.
And exactly, we'll dive in on that. If you'd like to chime in as well with your reaction to what you saw Mickelson do on Saturday, putting the second attempt before the ball had stopped. 615-737-1045, our number. It's the Midday 180, served up by Wendy's. If it's time to begin comparing prices for that car, truck, or SUV, make sure that you include Music City Autoplex in your search. I was in the market 2 years ago, and no other dealership topped the way Music City Autoplex treated me. If you're in the market now for a certified pre-owned vehicle but don't have the hours to spend pricing or comparing, just make sure that you put Music City Autoplex on your short list of dealerships that you're going to check out. No one can beat the prices you'll find there. They know how to buy smart, buy more, and they pass the savings on because they can buy for less than the competition. Compare them against anyone locally or on the web. They're located 15 minutes from downtown at 2430 Gallatin Pike, and they're also online at their other address, musiccityautoplex.com, the uncommon dealership. Again, I'm a customer. I vouch for the way they do business. You'll leave impressed with how they go above and beyond to ensure you have the very best car buying experience. 2430 Gallatin Pike, just north of Rivergate, and check them out on the web at musiccityautoplex.com.
Hey, it's